Rebecca, you're up first. And I need a wipey. My glasses are beyond dirty.
Let me make sure I got my stuff turned on.
Hello. Hello.
How are
Hello.
you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing.
Can I just tell everybody, because this recording will be for years to come at this point, can I tell them why you're up first today?
Yes.
Her husband just passed away. So for all of you who don't know, Rebecca's husband, what cancer was he battling?
Lymphoma.
Lymphoma. Okay. And Rob passed away. Was it a week and a half ago? A week?
Thanksgiving morning, very early Thanksgiving morning.
Okay. All right. So I'm probably not going to have to take a wild ass guess what we're coaching on.
Actually,
Unless
we're
you're
not really.
going to
No, actually, I'm not even here for coaching.
surprise me.
I just wanted to. Sorry, I'm gonna cry through this. So just.
You do not have to apologize. Nobody ever apologizes for crying anymore. Like, can we just make a rule?
Sure, that sounds great. I just wanted to thank you and the coaches and the tribe because, I mean, I know you guys know this, but I joined October 2017, standing in my kitchen at 5 o'clock in the morning, drinking a cup of coffee, waiting for Rob to get ready to go have his lymphectomy that eventually diagnosed him with the lymphoma. So I have literally been here since the beginning. And I've lost 45 pounds in the 2 years. And I would not have gotten through this as well as I have if it wasn't for PNP and the tribe and the thought work and the support.
I have to get a tissue. Hang on.
Okay. You guys have helped me to grow so much, and you guys helped me to be in the moment and to enjoy the 5 almost 5 years Rob and I had together and 3 years married at a level that I never would have been able to if it wasn't for everything we do here and for everything that everybody does. And I mean, down to introducing me to Marco Polo, which we used a lot, like Rob and I used a lot in the beginning, and I was able to download all of his videos from when I was at camp in 2018 and everything, and now I'm gonna have those forever. And I wouldn't have had those recordings if it wasn't for learning about Marco Polo through here. So you guys have made such a difference. And I'm so grateful and so thankful for everything. And I just needed to tell you guys that in words and not just in writings.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, as much as I appreciate it, I will say this is not the most fun part of my job. It's
I
not.
know.
See, my tribe members have to go through such, painful things and stuff that, we all wouldn't wish on anyone. So, other
I
than
mean,
that, are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting through. I have really good days, and I have like Friday was a really good day. Yesterday was tough because I had to. I couldn't afford two car payments. My car was out of warranty, so I traded in both cars,
Okay.
and I got a new car. And usually, I'm super excited for a new car, but it was bittersweet, and I had to take them off the health insurance. And I said this to one of my Marco Polo groups, like, I'm gonna have to take them off like everything, and it kind of feels a little bit like I'm erasing him, and that sucks.
Well, just remember that that is a thought.
I know.
Because you have, I know, but I know it's going to feel like it, but don't let your brain go there. Because here's the thing, whether he's on insurance or not, like each one of those things, you're not erasing him. You get to remember him, and you get to have him, and you get to think of him as much as you want to. Just right now, the insurance company won't think of him.
Right.
That's the way I would think about it, is like, you know what? The insurance company no longer is thinking of him, but I am. And I have my Marco Polo. You'll have to remind yourself what you do have in those moments. It's like you're going to need to argue with your brain a little bit.
Yeah, my mom actually said, you're not erasing him, you're erasing his debt.
Yes, yes. I mean, there's like, I think it's just a lot of like awareness of when your brain, like our brains hate pain, and you will be in a lot of pain. And it's like allowing yourself to feel the pain of, you know, the normal pain of just missing him and stuff. And then watching out for the dramatic pain that your brain is just like, you know, drumming at you, because it doesn't know how to think about this. It's right. Like your challenge is to tell your brain how we're going to be thinking about this. And, you know, and I know you've always been a strong journaler and stuff. You've got good support groups, but like really, like sometimes just every single day, write something you're grateful for about your relationship and tell your brain that that's what we're focused on today. And like, give it something to work on and to hang on to, so that in those moments when you're doing these other things, it's not just left wide ass open to try to interpret the way it wants to think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like having, I mean, as silly as it sounds, it's almost like having the reason why we have a food plan every day is so that when we're having to do things during the day, we're not left with having to decide how to think about food. In the moment, the last thing we want to do is think about food, which is going to be like when you're taking care of, you know, his business and stuff and y'all's business, you don't want to wait until you're in the emotional throes of it to decide how you want to think about it. Because your brain will go to, well, it sucks. That's all there is to it. And it'll give you a million reasons.
Right. It's like having a grief plan.
Sort of. Yeah. Like, I think that would be amazing. Like, you know, this all sounds great, right? But there will also be days where you're going to be like, fuck that grief plan. I just want to cry and sit here and be miserable. And that's the days you'd be like, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, I'm letting myself cry. And, you know, in the past I would have just like stuffed it down. I mean, I cried in the PJ Department of Kohl's yesterday because I saw a nightshirt that said my favorite person with an arrow. And I just like broke down, and I was with my mom, and she, you know, she's like, it's okay, you can cry. And then she bought me so funny, she bought me a Olaf shirt. I don't know if you could see it, where he's coming apart. Olaf from Frozen, the snowman.
Yeah,
he says he's like coming apart in pieces, and she goes, because I feel like you're coming apart, but you're still getting through life like Olaf. So you know, it's just, it's been amazing. And like I said, I definitely, like, my husband was estranged from his parents for the last couple of years. And of course they were at the funeral and everything. And they have said some very not nice things about me and my family. And I really have no desire to ever have anything to do with them again. But I was able to not freak out. Like, I had, obviously there was a little bit of anxiety because they are, you know, they were the unknown kind of loose cannon, and they did some stuff at my wedding and did some stuff at the rehearsal dinner that they could have done there. But I was able to really manage my mind about it and manage other people's minds about it. Like I was talking down my mom and I was talking down my dad, and you know, they're like, remember, they're going to do what they're going to do. And it's no reflection on us. It's only a reflection on them. You know, they're going to know what parts of this we did, what parts of this they did. So, you know, in Rob and I used to call it, Corinning people. So I Corinned my family a lot.
I Corinned my family a lot too.
You know, so, and you know, everything came out fine. And I think partly because I didn't react, they didn't do a lot of the stuff that they would have done, or at least they didn't do it out loud. I know that his father got drunk through the entire viewing and almost fell over at one point. But
one of the best ways we have of, you know, like, I always tell people, you can't tell people exactly how, you can tell people how to think, you just can't expect them to think it. But like, there is some power in like setting the stage. Like if you're responding a certain way and you're planting seeds, like, well, we could be thinking about it like this. If you do all of that with no expectation of anybody changing, usually what happens is people follow your lead. But when you go right. in and they're like, this is how we're going to act and this is what you're going to think, blah, 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 then people are like, it's a no. So that sounds like you did really well.
I did. I did really well. And, you know, I kept saying to that, because I'm the evil witch who stole their son, you know. And they have spread rumors about me. And I know the rumors they have spread about me and the things that they've said about me. And, you know, that's their opinion. And there's nothing I'm going to do to change it. It doesn't affect me. But I just kept saying, I'm not going to be the person they tell people I am.
Right.
Exactly. So that was kind of like my mantra through a lot of stuff, you know, over those 2 days was, I'm not going to be the person they tell people I am.
I think one of the strong things is when, I love that, first of all, I might have to steal that. But the other thing is when you don't, like, if you don't like someone, why would you ever even, like, give credence to their opinion anyway? You know, I always think,
yeah,
well, then it's a hell no. If I don't even like them, why would I care what they say?
Right. My big thing was, remember, we're not going to give them the energy. They don't deserve our energy.
No. Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I'm glad you raised your hand.
That's why I wanted to hop on, because it's real. When you say you want to change women's lives, you really do. And not just in the weight loss thing, because this, like, I'm kind of amazed at myself that I've gotten through this as well as I have. And like I said, don't get me wrong, I have my days, but yeah, and my moments, and
it's not.
But even those, I get through well.
Well, I would like everybody to know you're a testament of someone who has, like, throughout all the stuff, you have, like, you've been to a camp, you have showed up for calls, you have asked for, people can go back and see coaching, and, like, you're someone who, like, applies what we teach. I mean, the magic isn't in listening to Corinne. The magic is in actually doing the things. You know, mm-hmm. I just lay the groundwork, and you guys go and you do the stuff, and, you know, it's like I tell people all the time, you never know when you're going to need all this work. You might as well just do it. So, well, I've been thinking about you, so I'm glad you raised your hand. All right, sweetie.
Bye. All right. See you later. Bye.
All right. All right, you hussies. Good luck following that. Let's go with Deb. Somebody asked, what are some things I can tell myself when I want to F it at the end of the day? How about no? Has anybody ever just thought of just telling yourself no? Now, a lot of people say, like, well, I tell myself no and I do it anyway. Well, you might have to tell yourself no like 10 times, not just once. If telling yourself once isn't working, how about have a limit of 150 times? And if 150 times of no doesn't work, well, then I'll go do it. How many of you are trying that? You can tell me in the comment or in the chat room. Well, Deb is a goner. Let's see. Carrie? I don't know where Deb went. She got lost somewhere in the land. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Corinne.
How are you? Are you at the library?
I am.
Oh, I thought it looked very librarial.
Back in my office, I actually work at the library.
Okay.
I'm a marketing person. I'm the only person here today because we're closed, but I had stuff I had to do. So, anyway, there's so much that I could ask you, but I think I'll try to keep it to one thing. Let's see. My dad died in August. My mom was diagnosed with severe liver disease. And she has moved in with us.
Okay.
She's not an easy person. And she's also on Oxy. So there's just a lot going on. And it's her house, because we just recently sold our house. And we had moved into this house knowing that Dad was going to pass. And we were going to need it, get it ready to sell. But then she ended up moving in with us. So yeah, we've just, you know, basically, you know, my husband's trying to not be home. you know, we've got a great relationship, but, you know, I'm hiding from my mom. And this is not the life that I wanted to live. And I had 3 years of taking care of my dad. And, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you keep saying this is the life I didn't want to live when you're actively living that life?
Yeah, I know.
It's like a painful lie you tell yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a choice I've made. I feel like I don't have another choice, but I know.
No, you do. You could turn your mom into a nursing home. You could turn her out on the street. Right. You could do a thousand other things. People do it every single day. But what I want to show you is you have decided those aren't options.
True.
And you have decided that's not the person you are.
True.
And rather than thinking about that, you're thinking, this isn't the life I chose. When it's a lie. And that's why it feels hard. Because your brain is like, wait, I think we might have.
Yeah.
I mean, you moved into her house. I'm sure she didn't say you have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she wasn't living. This is her second house. She wasn't living there at the time.
But I mean, but I just want to show you. You have so much more evidence that you chose this life. And yet sitting in this idea of like, there was a better life for me.
Yeah.
There wasn't. Because you didn't go get it.
Yeah.
You went to get this one. Why?
Because nobody else will take care of her.
Yeah.
Nobody, my sister won't. That's been shown. And she's my mom. As difficult as she is and all the problems that she's got, I can't let her die like that.
Right. Even though it makes you cry, why are you crying? Is it because you love her so much or is it because this is disgusting?
More than it's hard, that it's hard, you know.
But why is it hard? Because you're saying it's hard as if the circumstances are what makes it hard.
She's just not an easy person to live with. She's very demanding. She's ill. She's got addiction issues. And
you do know all of that is your thought line. That's not your circumstance line. We need to get really clear what our circumstances are. Because your brain is wanting to put as the circumstance, difficult mother, hard mother.
Yeah.
Rather than she uses Oxycontin, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She had, what is her disease again?
She had cancer. She got through that, and now she's got liver disease.
Liver disease, Oxycontin.
Yeah.
What else? Demanding mother doesn't go up there either.
True. Her doctors are 2 hours away from us because we're working out of Georgetown, which is where she needs to be because, you know, our local hospital and stuff isn't going to cut what she's got.
She's exactly where she needs to be.
Yeah.
Similar to you. You're exactly where you need to be because no one else will do this.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I guess my husband and I had a little bit of time. We've got one daughter married and one daughter that's in college, and we had a little bit of time in between dad passing, because my husband and I were his main caretakers, taking him back and forth to hospitals too for the last 3 years. And I guess I thought that I was going to have some time to not be that caretaker again for a while. And it turned out to be like 2 months.
I think like part of this is this happens very often. I am not advocating that you feel amazing about your mom all the time. What I am advocating is that you clean up how you're thinking about it, because you have what we call that unnecessary pain going on. Like, you know, I didn't want this is not true. You know, like I didn't choose this, which is not true. Those things. But then you have this other part that's also unnecessary, where you have in your mind, it was supposed to be a different way. Like I thought it was going to be like this. When your brain goes there, it's never going to be useful time for you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it makes you feel like something's wrong now. It makes you look for all that's wrong right now. Well, like, you know, her doctors are 2 hours away, and you know that I only got that 2 months with my husband, and you know, I got all this, all because of this idea. It was supposed to be a different way.
Yeah.
It's just useless time in your brain that you're going to have to be very aware of. And you cut some of that thinking out. I think what I want you to see is before you even start changing a lot of thoughts, you cut the unnecessary bullshit out so that when you are tired, and when you're like angry at the situation or exhausted by the situation, you can be angry and exhausted at the right things, not at this other shit, because that's the extra like 25 pounds you're carrying around right now.
Yeah.
Like if you've got 50 pounds to lose in mama weight, we can cut 25 off by not diddling that it was supposed to be different and that you didn't choose this.
Yeah.
So we can just lose 25 pounds overnight. Most people will be like, I will take your deal.
True.
And then you're just left with this other. And watching when you are like frustrated with her. Like, tell me something that she does that's demanding.
Anytime my husband or I walk in the door, it's like, you know, do this, do that, you know. Here's a really good example. The other day, I was at work and she needed her sheets changed because she got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and ate candy and got chocolate all over her sheets. And she dumped her sheets. I know, right? She dumped her sheets.
You can tell her she should listen to this one podcast you love during the day to help her nighttime problem. No, I'm just
So she dumped her sheets in the kitchen, which is close to the laundry, and just told my husband, you know, there's laundry in the kitchen. And he was actually getting ready to pack for a trip that he had to go to. And, you know, she didn't say, could you wash my sheets for me? She just said, there's laundry in the kitchen, you know. And he didn't take it that it was something that needed to be done right then. He also got a little annoyed because he was basically just being kind of told to do something like he was the help.
Well, so and he took it as she was telling, like, this, like, so we are real clear here. Mama ate candy, stained her sheets, put them in the kitchen. Do y'all normally do her laundry?
Because right now she's having a hard time getting up and down the steps, and there's like 5 steps to get down to the laundry.
So, like, let's just take it down a notch. What, like, your version of demanding is my version of your mom doesn't normally do the laundry. It would not be surprising that she would put the laundry in the place it should be done.
No. That all was fine, except for later on in the day, she got ticked off at him and me because her sheets hadn't been cleaned yet. Yeah. And
well, she's done all that work already to bring them down for you and tell you what to do. I'd be ticked off too.
Well, I mean, the thing was, she didn't say what the problem was. She just said, there's laundry to do. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the laundry had to be done then, if she had said.
So if your mom had said, hey, I know you're getting ready to pack for a business trip, but my candy sheets need to be washed now, not later. Not it. Right. And he would have been like, yes, well, you're not demanding at all. I'll do it right now.
He wouldn't have been happy, but he would have done it then because he would have realized that it was laundry that needed to be done.
Yeah, and you know what you would have been telling me? My husband had to stop what he was doing to do the laundry.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it would have still been, it's all because the thought is she's demanding. All I'm trying to show you is more of your 25 pounds you need to lose.
Yeah.
You just be like, yeah, sometimes my mom is like, whatever. But we're not going to get worked up over it. She's going to, like, we're going to let her be upset. we're not going to sit there and think, well, she should have asked this way. And if she had done it this way, everything would have been so much better. It's like, the only way it's ever going to be better is if you quit drumming up everything as if it's wrong with mama. It's like, yeah, she, of course she's upset. She's on Oxycontin. She can't walk 5 steps. She wants her candy sheets done immediately. Of course she would be upset. That's where you have, like, forget your husband. Because you're going to be the same thing with him. Of course my husband would be upset. He thinks that she wants her sheets washed right now and should ask in a different way. Like, you have to lessen your emotional temperature on all this. Because you're telling it as if we're a victim to mama. And here are all the ways.
That's what I feel like, though.
Do what?
I said, that's what I feel like, though.
Right, because of your thinking, not because you are.
Sure.
That's where you need to do your thought work on. Like, if you looked at this situation, I guarantee you, if you were like, if she wasn't being demand, like, if I was just going to put my I'm just going to drop into my mother's mind for a minute.
Yeah.
She probably is sitting there thinking, I need sheets. I'm old as fuck with liver disease. Probably doped up on candy at this moment. Yeah. These are the people who are supposed to be helping me. I don't know what else to do. So sometimes she may come across as demanding. Sometimes she doesn't ask in the right way. There's all kinds of things that are going to be happening. Question isn't, do we need to teach her how to talk differently to us?
No, because that's not going to happen.
Right. Or do we need to start thinking differently about how she is? Which is, sometimes she's going to be really upset and she's going to say and do things that we're also going to think are batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Rather than buying our story that she's batshit crazy, we're just going to be like, yeah, of course she's upset. I'm not going to get upset because she's upset now. And I'm not going to get upset that it should all be happening in a different way, because then I just suffer. That's the only thing that ever happens here.
So yeah. True. Yeah. Me wishing it wasn't this way isn't going to change it.
No, you know what it changes?
No, just how I deal with it and the quality of my life at this point.
Yeah. You don't get to make anything out of the current life you have. You're just trying to get through it. You're not even giving yourself the opportunity to have good moments. Because they will all be stacked against this vision that you think was supposed to happen. Like, this is how she should be acting. This is how it should have been. None of this was my choice. If you don't start unlocking that and unwinding it, you'll never find peace now. Not even in the small moments.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Can you just be like, yeah, sometimes I'm going to be upset. Sometimes I'm going to think, I wish it was different. I know it can't be, and that's okay. But sometimes it's okay to just be aware of it rather than being like, it should have been different.
Yeah. You're right.
What are you going to do next time mama is Oxycontin up, chocolate stained mouth, got some kind of like shave my armpits, whatever it is that she wants you to do?
Oh, yeah. I got to give her a shower tonight.
Can you imagine? Yeah. That? Like, I will tell you this. So my grandmother raised me. She was dying of cancer, and I love my grandmother more than anything. She helped raise me. And the last 3 months or so, I'd take care of her. I mean, our whole family did, but I had the night shift, and very often she would soil herself and there were all kinds of things. And I hated it. I'm going to tell you, I had a 2-year-old at home that I'd have to go home in the mornings and be awake for all day and then grab a nap to go back and, you know, sleep on the floor and take care of my grandmother.
Right.
And it wasn't fun. But I remember thinking even then how awful it must be. And the same thing happened with my grandfather. He had very similar cancers that just for some reason cause a lot of shitting all over the place. I don't know why that's the case, but it is.
True.
I remember thinking, as bad as this is for me, I can't imagine what it's like to be your dignity and somebody else have to help you do that stuff. So like sometimes just when you're like not looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
Like it's not that you need to be like, it's going to be rainbows and daisies. It's going to be like, you know, we're going to throw rose petals down and light candles and have a bath. But it sometimes it just makes you remember, like, what could they be going through? This could not be easy either for them.
Actually, the physical caring, I really have no issues with. I mean, you know, I did it for my dad. I did it for my mom. That's no big deal to me. I mean, you know, I completely get that. I mean, to have to be in the position of somebody else having to do that for you is, you know, it is what it is. And that's, you know, I need to do it for her and that's no big deal. I wish she'd let me do it for her more often is my only issue. But yeah, I've been avoiding, I think, doing a lot of thought work around this just because I knew if I put it on paper, I'd have to actually deal with it. So,
well, you can either put it on paper and deal with it, or you can let it, you could not put it on paper and deal with it with feeling like shit all the time.
Right.
Delusional thoughts of it should be different. Like you're dealing with it. This is the funny thing. We think whether we write it on paper, or we just don't write it on paper. Like somehow now I don't have to deal with it. It's like, you are dealing with it actively all the time, just very inefficiently right now. Right now you're taking the slow road to feeling better. And it usually never allows you to feel better. It just allows you to keep feeling worse until like the eating starts becoming a problem and the drinking starts becoming a problem. There will be problems, you know?
Yeah.
But the one thing too is that I just wanted to tell you is when you get ready to do your work on your mom, I want you to remember that everything she says is now your circumstance. Because you've made this interesting comment that the physical stuff was the easy part to deal with. Mm-hmm. That's because the physical stuff is a circumstance. It's really clear to see.
Yeah.
Her thoughts that she verbalizes are also just like those physical things. They're no different.
Okay.
If you want to just decide everything that flies out of her mouth, what is it that you said about the physical stuff? It's easy to do because why? It just needs to get done.
It needs to be done, right?
Yeah. Well, when she says something, just say it's easy to choose how I want to think because it's just a sentence. It doesn't mean anything. Like it literally means nothing. Carrie, until you decided that it's demanding, it should be done different. She should say it different. She needs to know we got plans and stuff, or we like it asked for this way. Like, that's the part that sucks for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. I think that's why I've been a harder time trying to figure out how to do a thought download on this, because I wasn't quite sure what the circumstance would be. So you telling me that, you know, basically the sentences that come out of her mouth that may upset me or have issues or whatever, those are my circumstances, gives me a really good place to jump off of.
The first thing with a thought download is I would do is so that I just want to make sure I know there's a lot of confusion about the difference between a thought download and a model. The thought download would be where you're just going to, like, mama says, the sheets are in the floor of the kitchen. You do a thought download, which is like, you know, a few paragraphs on what you think about that. So you just verbalized one by saying, well, you know, she should have said it this way. And, you know, my husband was trying to get ready for a trip and now we're all mad because she doesn't know how to blah, blah, blah. That's all the thought download. Then when you're ready to do a model to pull out your circumstance, if you'll look in the planner, that little blue box will tell you everything to do. So you're going to go through your paragraphs and you're going to underline only the facts.
Right.
Those are all circumstances. So what she said is a circumstance. What your husband said back to her is a circumstance for you.
Yeah.
Like what people say, like her diagnosis, how many... Yeah. pills she takes a day. Like another circumstance, she can only do 5 stairs at a time. That is a good circumstance.
Yeah.
And then when you start, like, when you take that situation and you start underlining all the facts, when you read it back over, it should be boring.
Yeah.
Like, literally, if you had to come on here and said, I need to get coached. My mother ate candy in bed, and she got chocolate on her sheets. She took the sheets off. She, by the way, has, let's just say cancer, because I can't remember the exact name.
Yeah.
She has, or no, liver disease. She has liver disease, so she walked 5 stairs, put them in the kitchen. When my husband came home, she said, there are sheets in the kitchen to wash.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh my God, no wonder you need coaching.
Valid.
So that is how, like, for you, that's how you, like, every time you have, like, an experience with your mom, first you write it like you're thinking it. Because how you're thinking it is how you are experiencing it. That is the value of putting it down on paper. So you can be like, I need to know, like, I feel really angry. It's better to read about it than it's just to be sitting around seething in anger and letting the story ruminate for days until the next story comes. And then you got that one fueling the next story. That's how these undone thought downloads end up unwinding us. So you underline everything and you read it. You're like, okay, boring as hell. Great. Now I know what I need to do. So you pick a circumstance, any of them will do, and then read what sentences are around that circumstance, because whatever you said in there is probably the one, or just like the one with the, like when she put the sheets down, your big thought that kept coming back was she's demanding, which makes you feel what?
Used.
Right. So when we have a circumstance of sheets are in the floor with candy on them, and our thought is she's demanding, we start feeling used. And when we feel used, we're doing or not doing these things in the model. And then the result ends up being, so like when, like you, what did you do? Bitch to your husband, think about how she should act different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your result ends up becoming like you use your own mind against you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now I know how to start my my models and my thought download around this. I wasn't.
Yeah, no, that's the easy way. And y'all are going to love me like 30 times more than you already do, which is amazing. I don't even know how y'all can stand it. But the new No BS, I redid the entire model and TDL lesson. It's called Thinking Thin.
Nice.
And I broke it down, like we've got videos now, like line by line. There's a whole TDL video. Like I really broke all of it down into the simplest of ways to understand things. So when that releases at the end of December, listen to that. That'll help.
That's awesome. Okay. And just before I get off, I started in September. I was a September baby, and I'm down 32.4 pounds.
See?
The only part my life I felt like I had control over. Now I'll get the other stuff under control.
What's funny is you've had control the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're just going to take ownership for it. I think what's amazing is that you've lost 32 pounds with a demanding mother. A lot of people can't do that. You should give yourself credit. So
I am. I'm trying to get my daughter to join too. So.
Well, thank you so much. Good luck, okay?
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Leah. I see that the new NoBS is up on the website. The new NoBS, guys, is not up on the website. There is just a, I don't know if the button changed. Well, I changed the look of some stuff, guys, but the program is not actually out yet. I'm just, what's going on right now is I am still reformatting all of the web pages. I am your web designer. I would just like for everyone to know, and this is not my favorite thing in the world to do, but I am the one creating all of the amazing pages that you're seeing. But here's how we're going to do it. We are putting it into the Private Member Podcast. I think we're going to be releasing NoBS, I think right before Christmas. It's like a couple of days before Christmas or something like that. It's, I've got to build all the way. All, everything's recorded. Everything's done. Worksheets are done. All that kind of stuff. It's just a matter of now actually putting them into the web pages. So once that's done, you guys will get access. We will update the NoBS podcast feed, but I do want to tell you guys something that's changing for 2020. Won't affect any of you guys, that when people go through NoBS the first time now, they actually have to do the video version, because I spent a lot of time making sure that the video version has like specific, all kinds of things. You'll see when the new one comes out. But once you complete NoBS, you get the link to the NoBS podcast feed. So when the newbies come, they're not going to get it in the podcast player immediately. We're going to have them go through the videos first, and then they get that as the bonus for finishing, mainly because I want them going on the website so that they can see their worksheets, that they're completing all their things and stuff. But we will make sure that we update your NoBS podcast feed that you guys already have, but it just, everything is going to be like launching. It's going to be a rolling launch all month long. So as you go into the website, you already have some new stuff. So if you haven't been to the website, you should go check it out, because there is, go to, I think it's called Weight Loss Resources now. We've cleaned up some bonus courses. We've put everything on one really like easy to find page. If you go to the video replays now, and you click on a topic like binging, we went through and we pulled the top five things, like five coaching calls for that topic, so that you, like if you're having an issue with overeating or something, you can go and you can watch the five best ones, and then you can see the rest, like everything else that we have on that topic. So there you go. I want to register for July camp. Is it possible to purchase the general admission and upgrade to VIP later if it doesn't sell out? Yeah, you can. And the VIP lunch for both Saturday and Sunday. Yes, the VIP lunch is Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, you can go ahead and register for general admission. And then if it's still available, you can always upgrade. You just have to email support@pmptribe.com and we can take care of that for you. Will everything be unchecked so we know where we left off? Everything is going to be checked out, like unchecked. This is a whole new program, so nothing will be checked. No one's gone through this one. No one has seen one single lesson. I re-recorded every single thing and rewrote it from the ground up on what I have watched you guys do the last 18 months and ask questions on and need the most help with. Okay, let's see. Permie. I called on a couple people. It's just they keep hanging up on me. Please, everybody check and make sure that your hand's raised. Like, Leah, I don't know what is going on with you. I'm going to put you back down. Leah, re-raise your hand if you actually want to be on the call. Something is going on with yours. Hello.
Hiya. How are
you? Yeah, good, good. What are we coaching on today?
So, a couple of things. In general, but it's about the same kind of thing. So I'm trying to like date more, but I have like lots of thoughts about the process. I don't really enjoy the process, so sometimes I don't want to do it or try to do it, and then I kind of like have thoughts where I think like I go like either I'm quite negative sometimes or I'm really quite positive, and I kind of feel like I have thoughts when I'm positive that I shouldn't be positive if it doesn't work out. And I like beat myself up a bit.
Yeah, which doesn't because really being positive never works well.
No.
Just tell your brain it's wrong. Like, here's an easy fix. My brain is wrong.
Yeah. Because like the
we know a positive model gets us a positive result.
I think it's because I focus on the outcome of the, like, not like just like on the, like, I know if you think about yourself, but I think I focus sometimes on the outcome and the result.
Tell everybody what you're trying to solve.
More that I don't like quit and give up in the process, because I know you have to go through
process
that
kind of process. Process of what? They don't know.
Like meeting people and talking to them, and then it doesn't work out, or like you kind of get your hopes up quite a bit and then it doesn't work out, or at the start when you're trying to talk to people and then you realize like that was a waste of time quite quickly and stuff like that, because there's like various parts of the process like I have thoughts about and stuff, and then like once that happens I don't want to do it then for a couple of, well now it's a couple of days, but before it used to be like for longer, so now I do it quicker.
Okay, so have, if like, you're making progress, why do we have a problem?
Because I feel like I always do it though. Like I still, like I don't, like I had the thoughts about being positive and I got like annoyed at myself for being positive about it. And then it didn't work out. The guy didn't want to go out again on a date. So then I feel like I get confused about how to think about it. Because
okay, so let's do this. Let's make sure we're real clear, because I want to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. Because the last call you got coached on about this, you were in the Queen's Club, and this is the main stage. So nobody knows your shit, right?
Yeah.
So you go out on a date with a dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, on second date, no. Is that where we're at?
No, even on the first, like after the first, like on the last.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we have a date. You're like, I think that went well. Let's have a second one. He's like, it's a no.
Yeah. Okay. Or like, the last date I went on, the guy was like joking, like he had a ring on the bag, and he was saying like, "Would you move to like the city he lived in?" And I was like, I felt like he was trying to sell me the city, because he's like, "Oh, you'll love it. It's like a mix of the city you live in and the one." Like we met in a different city.
I didn't understand what you were saying. Sell you on what?
Like he like, oh, would you like move? Like he was from Newcastle. He's like, would you move to Newcastle? And I was like, well, it depends what it's like. And so I would have to like see the city. And he's like, oh, it's just like a mix of the one you live in and this, the capital of Scotland. Because we met in the capital of Scotland.
This is what you're talking about on the first date.
Like he was saying all this stuff to me. So I thought he really wanted to like go on a second date. And then later on that day, he sent me a message saying, well, I don't think we'll work out. And I was like, well, I don't get that, because I thought all the signs and things he was saying to me.
All he was doing was like basically do it. He had an application. You better really like Newcastle right off the bat, or you're a no in my mind. I don't even want to go out on a second date unless you're willing to relocate, because I know I'm not ever relocating.
Well, the thing was, I said, sorry?
So you just read it wrong.
Yeah, so I think then I like beat myself up in my head, because I thought, oh, like I read it wrong, and I thought all the signs were kind of positive, and I was quite confident when I went on the date, and then when I wasn't expecting it, I got like quite, well, I was quite hurt by it first, so surprised kind of thing, because it wasn't what I thought was going to happen.
Okay, but what if you'd like just start going out on dates with no expectation other than I'll figure it out as we go? Like, my job isn't to decide for the two of us whether or not we're, like, your job is to decide if there's a second opportunity, do you want it or not? Your job is not to sit around and try to anticipate what he's going to want to do. Your job is to wait for him to present a circumstance.
I just feel like, I think I have, like, lots of thoughts that it's, like, a heartful process and stuff.
Yeah, because you're having hurtful thoughts. Of course it is.
That's true, I suppose. So I don't,
they're not doing anything to you other than saying you're a yay or you're a nay. And what does Permy want to think is the question. Right now, Permy thinks, well, this is a terrible process. I thought this was really going to work out. There must be something wrong with me. I must be doing all of it wrong. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing now.
Yeah, I think I get, like, confused, like, either be positive, but then in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, you should maybe anticipate that it won't work out after that last date.
Yeah, so we can feel like shit ahead of time. That's the better solution for me.
That's like what my big kid was telling me. Like, you should maybe just, like, not be, like, keep that, like, in the back of your head so that you don't get as hurt the next time, or, like.
But are you feeling amazing now?
I feel better than I did last.
This is a, like, all right, everybody hear me. There's no sitting around thinking ahead of time that I will fail so that when I fail, I'll feel better. All that you do is you feel like shit until you fail. rather than giving it your all and experiencing growing and experiencing hoping and experiencing working hard and experiencing excitement and stuff. And then if you fail, at least you had that. And then the failure isn't worse because you felt all this. Failure is usually better because you're so in line with things working out, or that you having your own back and you doing all this, that you're ready to go again because the process was so good. The reason why you guys quit is because you sit there and you try to, all right, I'm going to try to get a guy. And all the way up into getting a guy, it's going to be painful. I'm going to not hope for the best. I'm going to like worry. Try to figure out what the fuck he's thinking rather than worrying about what I'm thinking and stuff. And then when he doesn't call me back, see, I don't want to do all that again. Then you don't want to try anymore. It's the same thing with a diet. Y'all do the same thing with weight loss. You don't want to get your hopes up that you'll lose weight. You don't want to enjoy the process. You don't want to try things. You don't want to do all this stuff because, oh my God, what if it doesn't work out? Then the second it doesn't work out, you don't want to have to go through the process of hating yourself all the way to see if it works. Nobody would.
So, like, what would you think, like, a better way to think about the process, just that you'll handle whatever happens?
You just decided, every guy, you're going all in. I'm going to believe this is going to work out. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be all the things. And then he's going to give me a circumstance. But between now and the like opportunity for a second day, I'm going to just enjoy as much of it as I can.
Okay.
If he doesn't want don't beat yourself up over it.
But at the end of the beat myself up at the end of the last one. But that was the kind of first time I did it. And I was quite surprised because I did beat it. So I was a bit like, what the?
What if your thought was, I just read that wrong?
Yeah, at first I was like totally surprised for a day or two, then I kind of got over it, and so I've gone back on the kind of dating sites and stuff, and I've had like spoke to another couple of people that didn't really work out, so now like I have the same thought coming back with like I'm not having the kind of result I want to create yet, but I'm still trying to like I take action more now than I used to, but then sometimes I think the more you do it and you don't get the result.
What is the result you want?
Just to like have like a relationship, like meet someone.
Well, you're already doing that. You're meeting someone and you're having lots of relationships. So you're already getting the result you want.
Yeah, I suppose I want like a serious, like long term relationship with a guy because I never like had one before.
Okay. Well, then like that result will only come from you believing that you're going to have a lot of short term ones until you find the one you want. I think your result is someone's going to find me and want me. Have you ever considered the possibility that you're in the driver's seat?
I think I'm trying to get more like in that way. Like, in the past, I was always like more focused on them and stuff like this. And I'm trying to like change my thoughts about it. Like last day I went on, it was like to like put the pressure off it. Because I used to like get quite worried and stressed before the date, so I'd be like it's just a chance to meet someone new and stuff like that, but then I did like this person and I was quite positive and I thought the date went well, so when it didn't, like, because normally I would kind of anticipate it maybe going badly, so I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if that was good for me, because then I was like I felt like that made me feel hurt, but it wasn't really that, it was like my thought about what happened.
It was your thought.
Yeah.
What if you had have gone in all creeper style? And then he said, yeah, I'll take a second date. thought, not because of the second date.
Yeah.
I think you, it is going to be like not sitting around with your circumstance. What is your circumstance right now?
Like going on, talking to like new people and new guys.
That's your action line.
Interact. Well, I suppose that's action as well, interacting.
This is probably why you're having a really hard time figuring all this out, because you don't even know what your circumstance is.
Yeah. I suppose, like, all the things I think of as circumstance, they're probably actions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, unless it was, like, a specific person that could make that a circumstance or something. Like, they said this or this happened.
I think your circumstance is relationships. Like,
just in general, okay.
Like, having relationships with guys. Like, I'm, like, your circumstance can be, I'm having relationships with guys.
Okay. And then do, like, models on that.
Yeah, because I think that you're doing models on a circumstance of, I don't have a relationship with a guy.
Yeah, I have quite a lot of thoughts about that. I TDL about that quite often right now.
But I want you to see, you need to change your circumstance. You think you don't have relationships with guys. You kind of said it several times in different ways. And I think what's the real circumstance is you have relationships with guys. You're just not giving yourself any credit that you're having relationships. And you need to have good thoughts about those relationships, because your thoughts are all coming from a circumstance of no relationship, which makes you question how you're showing up and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you believe,
I don't,
relationships?
Do I believe what, sorry?
Do you believe you're having relationships?
I don't think I thought of it that way until you said it. And then when you said it, I suppose I've not given, like, whatever interaction I've had with the person is a kind of relationship. It might not be a long-term one, but I never thought of that way. I think I was just thought, you still don't have that relationship that you want, kind of thing.
Right, what you just said is the circumstance that you're basing all of your beliefs, and this is why everything's getting so crazy and why it all feels so bad. I don't have relationships. I don't have a relationship with anyone right now. It's like, yeah, you do. Every single time you go out on a date, I'm having a relationship. I've already got the first step of what I want.
Yeah.
How do I build on that? And we build on that not by, you know, saying we have no relationship and this is not working out and something's going wrong and I'm reading things wrong.
Yeah, I think I need to, like, change, like you said, how I think about them and, like, see, like, even be grateful for, like, the one date or the chance to meet someone, kind of thing.
It was practice. Practice for my guy.
Yeah, I did
Newcastle.
Love that. I know. I was like, damn it. But, because I was quite close, but, like, no, it's quite interesting. I was quite glad I did it and stuff like that. And, like, I did practice going into a date the way I wanted to. And I should be happy with that regardless of the actual outcome of what happened and stuff like that. So you never know, it might help for the next time. And it gives me, like, I had to do a lot of work after that date, like, about what I thought about it. And
I would choose every day, honestly. You know your brain likes to go to there always being a problem. And I think you've got to quit thinking that you not having a serious long-term relationship is a problem that you're trying to solve.
Yeah.
You really want to solve it, you'd go on at least 400 dates next year. I would bet you that if you got 400 dates next year, you'd find your guy.
Probably. I have this thing about, like, my mom and dad in the background. Like,
who cares? Nobody cares. You don't either.
That would open up the choices. I could probably go to 400 right now and limit it a bit, but I suppose if I, like, was willing to do that, then that would increase the number of potential people. Like,
I want you to think about this. If you were willing to go on 400 dates, which meant some days you'd have to go on at least two. If you were willing to go on 400 dates next year, here's all the problems in your life you would solve. Number one, caring what your parents think. Because you'd have to do a lot of work around caring about what your parents think versus what do you want in your life. Two. Yeah. You'd have to get over really quick rejection. You'd have to really start learning how to be rejected like a grown-ass woman versus being rejected like a child. That would make you get out of that mindset you've had with your parents about being rejected and all the things that go on there. Like, 400 dates, it's not about finding the love of your life at the end of it. It's about who the hell will Permy become if she had to go on 400 dates, go through a whole lot of people that she like, you'd have to learn how to be selective. You'd have to learn how to cut a date off. Like, if you got in there and 10 minutes in, it sucked. Like, I got 400 dates to go on. I can't be wasting all this time. You're a no for me. It would make you start being, like, in the driver's seat rather than waiting for the guy. Have you ever gone out on – how many dates do you go out on where you're just like, he's a for sure no. Even if he calls me, I am not talking to him.
Like, after the date, I mean.
After the date.
Yeah, I have said no to people and stuff like that.
Okay, but like how many? One out of every three? One out of every 10? Like if you had to guess.
Probably. I normally like to give them a chance, like to go on a couple in case I think they're nervous or something, or they weren't like.
Well, that's why I would be like, you know what? My grown-ass man will not be nervous on the first date. Or he will be nervous and I think he's so cute, I would want to go out with him again. But if some guy can't. Okay. Together on day one, I got 400 to get through this year. He's a nut. Yeah. Like, it would make you question why you keep going back rather than just being like going with your gut when it comes to people. Because you don't go with your gut. You quit constantly. And if you had to do 400 dates, you'd quit. You wouldn't even have time to question yourself that much. It would be like putting, like, gas on the fire of your personal development. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of ways you would grow if you, like, going on 400 dates next year and you can't find a man as the result. Here, like, I might find my man, and that's kind of the result that the reason why I would do this, but here are the real reasons why it's important, because this is how I would grow. Then I want you to look at it and then ask yourself, why would I not be making myself do this? Is it worth it?
Yeah, no, I think it would be worth it. I'd probably learn to stop caring, like what you said, what other people think. I'd get better at having rejection. I'd figure out more of what I actually like in a person, and I'd be more confident on dates in general and stuff.
There'd be a ton. And then I would. You know what stage two of this process is, right? Or no? Let me tell you. Let me tell everybody. Yeah. Stage two is to do a thought download on why you haven't decided to do it like yesterday.
I think I always use that mom and dad thing as an excuse, like, because then I can't find as many people.
Mom and dad is an excuse to grow in life. Like, how old do you need to be to quit using your parents as an excuse to stay in an emotional childhood?
I think I'll hurt their feelings if it happened, like, with someone that.
Of course, they have high, they have like crazy ass weird standards. So yes, their feelings are going to be annihilated.
And then I like tell myself not to do it, then to not hurt them, kind of thing. So, but I should just be willing to let them be hurt. But I haven't got to that place yet where I'm willing to like potentially kind of hurt their feelings.
And that's your thought download. That's the thing that you need to say. Like, and this is what's standing in the way of me finding my life partner. I don't want to hurt my parents' feelings. That's it.
Okay.
I do that. And then step three is once you've like figured out all your reasons for not doing it, is you either do it or you don't, but you take full ownership. It's all me.
Yeah. It's my choice.
400 dates, 2020. I think that should be your goal.
I like started doing like hashtag posts when I get to my 50s.
Every day you'd be like, girl, said guy, I gotta get a selfie. Like, I'm hashtag
400 2020. It'd be
like funny because I got a date right after you. I'm just telling you. I'm like, time's ticking.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Sarah. And then this is the last one. And then I got to potty and get ready for my 6-day girls. We're doing, if you're a 6-day girl, don't forget you have coaching today too. So we're doing coaching Q&A starting at 2:00. All right, Sarah.
Thank you, Corinne. Hi.
Hey. Hello. I thought you were Sarah Gross for some reason. I thought I saw the last name Gross, and I was like, oh, and then when you popped up, I was like, wrong Sarah. It's okay. Yep.
Sarah Dingman. I am working on a solution with my accountability group. I've looked for some coaching calls from this year, last time, but couldn't find them. And I'm looking for a solution to help me move out of stuck mode between the past and the future. I didn't make the goal that I wanted to this year. I joined in January and I've lost 25 pounds and I wanted to lose more.
Okay. How much did you want to lose?
I wanted to lose 40.
So the math, 15 more pounds. So 15 pounds. So basically you wanted to lose 1 point something more a month.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure how much more I wanted to lose. To be honest, I'm not
stuck. We don't even know what the hell we're talking about. It's like, I don't know how much I wanted to lose. I don't know. I just know it's bad. Let's get unstuck.
Yeah, I was happy with my momentum. And then I, in October, I walked the Camino Trail. I've done a lot of good work this year. But when I average it out, it's like two pounds a month. And I've been losing and gaining the same pounds.
Does it feel so much better to think I averaged 2.2 pounds per month this year? Or do you like your circumstance to be I lost 25 pounds this year?
Yeah, I'd like it to be that I lost 25 pounds, that I'm not where I was when I started.
Yeah. Why would we ever choose a circumstance that's going to feel like force us to think shitty thoughts?
Yeah, I think I sabotage. I think it's just old stuff then it's a way to sabotage myself and it screws up my future. I want to let go of it.
What are you wanting to let go of? Tell me something that you need to let go of.
I want to let go of looking backward.
Okay, then just stop.
When I do that, then I look forward.
Isn't that kind of what we need to look if we want to lose more weight?
Well, what I mean by that is I look at December 31st and I realize that then I go into fuck it mode.
Why do you go into fuck it mode for December 31st? That's not looking for, I'm going to tell you right now, if your thoughts about December 31st have fuck it mode is the action line, the thought line is not going forward. The thought line is still going backward.
Yeah.
The circumstance, guys, is just the circumstance. December 31st does not have magic powers. There are people right now who are like, I can't wait for December 31. That tribe is going to be open and my life changes. And then you're like, man, that December 31st, that's a deal breaker. I mean, that number. Like, let me go talk to all those people who are excited. They need to know. December 31st, that's a whammy day. It's not good. So tell me what you think of when you think December 31st.
I think of the word failure.
So you feel like a failure. Why?
Yes. Because not only have I not lost more than I wanted to the last 11 months, but I'm not losing. I feel like between now and December 31st, I'm not going to lose. That I'm just kind of like trying to catch up and it's not possible.
Yeah, it's not. So why don't we just quit trying to catch up? Why don't we just like be normal? What would it take to just be like, there's nothing special about December 31st. There's every single day between now and then to figure out how I'm going to eat that day. And I can start making progress, or I can cry about October through November something. Like, that is what you're, like, you've got to have that conversation with yourself. There's, guys, when you're doing this stuff to yourself, that's when you have to, like, take control and be like, and we just stop doing that. Mm-hmm. There's no way in hell me thinking that by December 31st is now going to be the definition of who I am and what I'm capable of, because that's essentially what you're saying. December 31st is the day that all goes down in history that Sarah was a failure in 2019. It's like, it also could be by December 31st, if you've lost 25, it could be 27.
Mm-hmm.
On December 31st, do you want to be the girl that's lost 27 pounds, or do you want to be the girl that's still crying because she only lost 25?
Definitely 27. Definitely.
Yeah. So, like, if you were going to lose 2 pounds between, what is today, the 15th?
Yes.
If you're going to lose, have you lost 20? You're at 25, right?
I think I'm at 22.
Okay, 22. And we're going to get back to 25. You got 15 days to lose 3 pounds. The easiest way possible. Why not be thinking about that?
Yeah, I wish I, yes.
There's no wish I could. There's my brain goes to shit and I tell it this is what we're thinking. That's how we do it. Like, it's just like I talked about in the very beginning in the weekly planning part.
Mm-hmm.
There's no day coming, Sarah, that your brain is going to automatically go to everything's wonderful and possible. And, like, I just wish I would think different. Guys, if you have, that is the most poison thought all of you will have. I just wish I think different. Here's what it has to be. When I think shit, I choose to think this. That's how it works for every human being. And none of you are going to get a pass on that.
Mm-hmm.
We set an intentional model in how we want to think, not so that we just start thinking that, so that when our brain throws shit, we know what to say.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a good opening statement. When I think shit, I do shit. Are there some other, I write, and that's good. A couple of opening statements that can get me thinking positively and moving forward instead of reacting to the old stuff?
Just when your old stuff comes up, what if you just thought, this is not as big a deal as I'm making it? Like, if I'm not making it a big deal, what would I have to be doing right now? For most of you, if I'm not making my weight loss a big deal, it means I'm going to have to say no to the pantry at 6:30 at night when I'm feeling defeated.
Okay.
And you know what? Saying no in that moment is not going to feel positive. It's going to feel hard, but it's going to be honest. Why you're saying no, rather than just fuck it mode, which is right now you're just like, I don't know why I bother. And I'm so pissed now because my brain won't even think amazing things. Seriously, like, what is wrong with me? I should just eat. That is the problem. Like, when your brain throws up the shade, you're not arguing for yourself. You're arguing with yourself for having shady thoughts. It's called, we call it the shit stack. It's like, let me just, like, I got this shitty thought, so let me just stack some more shit right on top of it. Might as well, because there's a snack at the end. If I just keep doing it, I'll get a snack. There's no snack at the end when you stop judging your thoughts. All that's left is waiting, a little bit of discomfort, and then tomorrow you get to feel better. Tomorrow, you get to experience a little bit like, okay, I got through that night. I showed myself that I can think something different. I'm going to show myself I can do that again tonight. And you write then about how you showed up. You let your brain really reinforce that. You prepare yourself for the next night or that evening and be like, I'm probably still going to be thinking these things. It's probably still going to be hard to say no. Here's some shit I'll do to, like, make it a little easier on myself and all that. But that's the thought work that has to be applied. The only way to get unstuck is you have to start doing things before you want to do them. You have to start doing things before your brain believes you even can do them. That's why it's so hard to get unstuck. Because being stuck is just being at zero. The hardest step is zero to one. Once you take that first one, everyone after that feels a little easier because your brain doesn't fight so hard to stay stuck where all the snacks are. So let's clear things up a little bit. You've lost 22. Like, how much more weight do you want to lose?
I am at 193 today, and I want to be at 150.
So that's
43.
I'm the worst at the math. All right, so I would like for your circumstance to be, I've lost 22, there's only 43 left.
Oh. Yeah, that's good.
That needs to be your circumstance.
That's great. That's great. Those are just numbers.
Right. Rather than I averaged 2.2 in 2019. Right. That's a loaded tag right there. It's like,
right.
Cumulative, and then build your positive models off of a better phrased circumstance. And then your brain goes, all right, like for the next 15 days, how much do I want to, like, in your journal, you know, where it's got like the 1 year and all that stuff, just cross some of that stuff out and just put for your month goal, put like by the end of December, like December 31st, like 2.5 pounds, whatever you want to do that would be easy for you to do. Like, set the easiest number, make that interim goal that you write every single day, like by December 31st, I want to have lost this much. You don't have to have a bit. I wouldn't even put down the number on the scale you want to do. I would just put down lost 2.5, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then you work your circles that way.
Okay.
I always like to think about, like, when I am trying to do something, I break my goals down into circumstances that are the easiest for me to generate momentum in my thinking. Like, if I put rework the whole no BS, I am swimming in overwhelm because my brain immediately goes to every freaking thing we have to do to get that done. It's like a no shit. I would bet you our project had 250 different tasks, if not more, to just get that one thing done. But when I think this week, like, outline new flow. That's the goal this week. Like, I just really stay, like, what would be the next logical thing to do to move this project forward? It's the same thing with weight. Keep it small. What is the next logical things to do this week to move my weight along? For you, like, when do you have your fuck it moments? Like, your biggest ones.
Yeah. Holiday parties.
Okay. So you're going to take the next party coming up. In between now and then, you work with your accountability partners on a strong plan.
All right. It's in 2 hours.
Okay. Then you get on, like, ooh, you better get on
this is so great.
But yeah, well, just basically, like, say, like, all right, I'm going to reach out to all of you. Like, here's my Marco Polo. Here's what I agree to do tonight. Am I missing anything? And I'm going to go to the bathroom at a certain time, and I'm going to check in.
Okay.
And let you guys know, like, think about some things that you can do to get through this evening.
Okay.
With the mindset of, I'm moving forward. Like, you just have to tell yourself 1,000 times.
Great. Well, I feel like I'm, from this moment, I'm just starting positive. I'm just going to build blocks positive. It's not about yesterday or any of that stuff. It's about, I'm at 22 and I want to get 43 more. That's great. And I will Marco Polo my accountability group.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
In the next 30 minutes.
The only time I ever want you guys looking back is when you've lowered the temperature on yourself. Like, there is some positives of, like, all right, on a day when you're not stressed out about things, saying, you know what, I just want to look back between October and November, and when I was kind of having my fuck it moments, what patterns do I notice? Because that I will take one, and then this week, that's the one pattern I'll work on. like when you're gonna, when you can look at it like that, like it's just math, like you said, oh, those are just numbers. You also can take all of those times that you overate and got stuck. Those are also just numbers now. Like it was at this time, these are the particular foods that I need game plans around. These are the specific times I need game plans around. When you start breaking it down, there's no failure involved. But if you're still stuck in thinking you're a failure and everything, it's like, all right, let's just get some wins until we get enough momentum to be like, I wonder what was going on so I can prepare for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time that I want you guys like really digging around back there. It's when you really can look around at your past. You're looking at your past through the lens of, let me see how terrible, like how I've missed my goal. Let me judge myself. Like you're looking back with judgment versus like pulling it apart as useful information because you're going to keep going, which is a very different lens.
Great.
All right. Good luck. And tell your Marco Polo group I said hello.
I sure will. All thank right. you, Corinne.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, everyone. That is it for the day. We have tomorrow night, just so you guys know, there is a super special Gift of Fat call with me. It's Monday night, 5 p.m. Central. We are going to be going through the 5-step urge process. I believe it's in the No BS in the new version. I cannot remember, but I know we have this 5-step process. And I am going to go over it all tomorrow night and teach you guys that. And then you guys can ask me questions specifically on handling and dealing with urges. And then don't forget, we added July camp. So July camp is now open. So we have July and October camps. We also have Don't Stop Believing. And I did a call yesterday. It should now be on the website, where if you want to watch the 30-minute call where I just kind of talk about all the events and stuff, if you're interested in coming to an event, you can go look at that. It's on pnptribe.com, live events. And then we also have a brand new accountability system for you guys. And the call she's talking about is uploaded. Okay, good. One of the things that we really wanted to focus in on for 2020 is we already do accountability well, and we want to be like the place that takes accountability and blows it out of the water in the weight loss industry. And that is my thinking. So I've got the whole team working on it. Phase one of that, y'all wouldn't even believe all the shit we're doing, but I'm just gonna say, phase one of that is now, if you want an accountability partner, you fill out a form and we are helping you guys get groups and get set up. And then in a few months, we're gonna start having some specific challenges and all this other kind of stuff that's gonna be coming out. But what we're doing is we're helping you guys get a group and find it. So we're not doing it in the Facebook group anymore. We are personally putting you guys together and helping you get a good group started. So if you go to pnptribe.com, I believe it's underneath community, if I'm not mistaken. I just finished the page yesterday. So let me go look. I'm sorry, guys. I should know this. If you go to community, and you go down to find an accountability partner, you will find the brand new page that not only has your accountability request form on it, but it will say like step one is to request your group. Step two, we talk to you about what to do to set one up, because we're going to give you all the instructions. We're going to set you guys up. We're going to give you each other's email addresses and stuff. And then we have like name your group, decide if you're going to have an expiration date on your group or not. Some groups like to just do a 30-day group just to see if we're all going to gel. And then step three is set up your simple structure. We are providing you with a 1-minute drill for each day, a 2-minute weekly drill, and a 3-minute monthly check-in drill. So we're kind of giving you some things. And then we also have ideas for your group. So if you want to like, what are some ideas that we could all be doing? We have that on that page. Plus, if you haven't taken the accountability program that we have, Mastering Accountability, in a while, a lot of you really struggle with self-accountability, then, I just lost myself. Hold on. Like all my windows went everywhere. If you haven't taken it, that program is really good for understanding how to be accountable to yourself. So if you want, before the end of the year, to just do the self-study course so that you're like setting yourself up for 2020, with like, all right, I really understand how my brain works. I really understand some things that I'm going to need to do to be able to hold myself accountable. It's a great course to go through before 2020 starts. Okay. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow night. Bye, y'all.